Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And welcome to you, Richard Longbow.
Thank you for having me here.
You bet. You're going to be at the Atlantic Public Library this Saturday, March 16th, 10 o'clock, and talking about a couple of your books and have lots of other things to talk about and show. So let's talk a bit about the very first book that you did, because as I understand, you worked on that for years and years. What's that all about?
My first book was Frozen in Time, and it's about the 5,300-year-old man that was Neolithic man that was found in the Alps. And for several years, they tried to decide how he expired. At first, they thought that he had frozen to death, and then in 2001, they did a CAT scan and found out that he had been shot with an arrow. In 2007, they decided that this was the oldest CSI murder mystery, okay?
If he'd been found 100 years ago, there would have been a lot of that information they maybe couldn't have gotten. But now we have new techniques.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that when he died with everything that he was carrying on the day, which included his bow, his flint knife, his arrows, the food that he was carrying, the medicines that he was carrying. So there was a lot of material so that they could do forensic studies on the body.
So of all of those things, I know you're interested in the total man and the total story, but you're a master bow maker. You must have had particular interest in his bow and that kind of equipment.
That was the one thing that bothered me, because they believed that he had made the bow while he was being pursued by someone, and I found that a little bit incredulous.
Might take longer than that to make a bow.
Yes, it takes a long time to make a very proficient bow. Yes.
And then you make the flints, the knives, I mean, all of that kind of, you can do those kinds of things too?
Yes, that's part of the artwork that I do. I do flint knapping. I'm a master bow maker, arrow maker. I work in leather, which he was wearing leather garments. So all of this fit into the type of work mm-hmm. that I do.
And you will have many of those items on display along with your talk.
Yes, I will. And they'll be used as visual aids. I want the people to be able to come up and touch them. And one of the most interesting is the point that was given to me on my second book. We'll talk about that.
And I want to mention some of those items that are on display are the real thing. Others are, we couldn't tell the difference because you have made them from photographs and other kinds of information.
That's right. I do museum quality work, so what they would not give me permission to use in my book, I recreate it exactly. So these will be on display also.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about the second book, because I understand it's a little related to the first book.
That's right. The Iceman was the equivalent of what the Native American would have been, or the indigenous people in North America, because everything that he was carrying, it was what was utilized by indigenous people and made by indigenous people. They used bows, they used arrows, they used flint. The axe that he was carrying, okay, is another controversial part of the first book. And, of course, Native people made axes or traded for axes.
Okay. And the title of the second book, in case we didn't mention, is Who Were the First Americans? And I think that's been an ongoing question, and we can learn so much about, what are the theories about that? I mean, did they sail in?
Okay.
Probably not. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's one of the controversies. There's some anthropologists and archaeologists that do not believe that 13 or 20,000 years ago that Europeans could have made boats that would sail all the way across from Europe to North America. And as we were talking about before, there are three basic theories. It's called the Clovis First Theory across the land bridge. Then there's the Kelp Highway Theory, which comes along the Pacific Rim. And then the third one is the Across the Atlantic Ice theory, which means that the Solutrians, which were from Iberia and France, came to North America 22,000 years ago.
And walked on the ice.
And well, no, actually they sailed along the the ice, because the distance between Europe during the Ice Age in North America was half the distance.
That's something else that just enters that picture that most of us probably don't think about. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit before we talk a few more details about what you're going to be sharing with us, is how you got interested in this and your kind of your life experiences related to the subjects that you talk about.
Okay. Let me start when I was just a very small boy. The first book I ever read was National Geographic. Okay. And I had always had a yearning to learn about the rest of the world. And I became very interested in cultures. And that's where we really learn about what people are all about, when you understand their cultures, the things that they make. So this all falls into anthropology, archaeology, and history.
But you were not employed as an archaeologist somewhere here in your travels.
No, I was an international photographer, but I was able to go to various parts of the world. After I finished my assignments, I could stay and learn about the culture.
Can we see your photographs anywhere? Are there any in your books?
Yes. I believe, there are some actually on the front of the book. The recreation of the flint knife is the quality of my photography. Okay. And if you look at the cover of my book.
And you've been working at sharing all of this information for quite a while. I understand now, at the library, it's going to be about an hour plus some questions and that sort of thing. But you could go on a lot longer than that.
Yes, I have in the past. I've lectured in universities, as I said to you. My last lecture was at the Little Priest College on the Ho-Chunk Reservation.
Okay. And so, again, you could talk for a long time and answer people's questions. I think that's really, really important. Where can we get copies of your book?
Okay, I just sell them when I do presentations, or they can contact me via email. I have very little use for the internet, except for I don't have email or, well, I have an email address, but I use that only at the library.
Okay, so also... If you don't get to come to the program, the librarian in Atlantic will have the information to get your books also.
Sure, and also in Avoca. I live in Avoca right now.
Okay. So coming up, that's another presentation you'll be making, Casey.
And also in Avoca. I live in Avoca right now.
Okay. So coming up, that's another presentation you'll be making. In case somebody can't come on Saturday, they might want to check out when you're going to be in Avoca, and that's going to be in April sometime. And we will... put your email address along with this recording, because it's sort of it's not a real easy one. It has Longbow in it, but the first letters are a little difficult to remember. So we can put that on the web, and people then, if they want to check when you are going to be doing a presentation, they could check with that now. How did you get back to the Midwest? You've traveled all over the world, and now you're living part of the time in the Midwest.
Well, because of the weather where I was living, I went back. I would winter on the East Coast because the winters were milder there, and then I'd summer here in the Midwest. But now I've come back to, stay in the Midwest. So now the winters are getting bad again.
Yeah. we haven't had one like this for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Let's go back to talking about the people, how you study where the first Americans came from and all this information. And that just leads me to ask you about DNA testing, because that's gotten so popular.
Yeah, well, in the second edition of my book, I've added a chapter, which is about the Clovis Comet. But throughout the book, it talks about everyone's DNA, including not only indigenous people, but people that come from Latin America, for the Caucasian people. There's a certain marker that we all have. Europeans have what is known as an M marker. Native people have a unique marker called the X haplogroup marker. And this is all detailed in the book. So you can learn a great deal about your own lineage. And you know how popular Ancestry.com has become in recent years.
Yes,
so.
It's fascinating to me because, you know, genealogy and all that used to not be very popular. Now, all of a sudden,
Everybody wants to know where they came from.
Yes, very interesting. And, and for the most part, that's really good. Some people, I think, are really find out things they didn't really want to know, perhaps. Okay, we need to remind folks because there's so much more to talk about, and you will be talking about all of this information that's Longbow at the Atlantic Public Library this Saturday, the 16th, at 10 a.m. at the library. Come and see all your displays.
Yes.
And get acquainted with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Richard Longbow for being here today. And until next time, here's a thought. Trouble is temporary. Time is tonic. Tribulation is a test tube.